Welcome to the June 4th, 2006 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's worship service includes recognition of our new high school and college graduates, and also the commissioning of our two family ministry interns. Today's sermon is entitled, Pentecost, What's the Big Deal? If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us soon for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. Welcome to College Park Baptist Church. My name is Jeff Allen. I'm the Associate Pastor of Students and Families here. We are so glad that you have decided to join us this morning. It is Graduate Sunday. It is a big day for many in our congregation. And we have several other surprises in store for us this morning in worship. So it is a good day to be together. Invite all of you, whether you're a longtime member or a first-time guest, we have pew pads on every pew. We invite you to take those pew pads. If you're a guest, we would like for you to fill out all the information as you feel comfortable, name, address, phone, email, check the appropriate boxes. And then for our members, all we ask is you put your name, any information that has changed and as far as contact information goes, and then check the boxes as well. We appreciate you using these. This allows us to get some information from you, and so we can contact you about things going on in the life of our church. Speaking of things going on in the life of our church, I'd like to recognize Roger Jones now for a Mountain Outreach announcement.
Good morning. Good morning. All right, I like to hear that. It is a beautiful day and a great morning. Glad to be here. I'm thankful to be here. I thought I'd give you an update again this morning on Mountain Outreach. Last week I was a little long about that, but I thought it was worthwhile to cover the things. I'm happy to report to you right now, as of a few minutes ago, that we have $14,527.54. What about that? I was just handed a check for $5,000. That tells you how important this project is to some people. Anyway, thank you so much for that. We're going to make our goal. I will be ordering materials on Tuesday. The person I was supposed to talk with on Friday was not available, so on Tuesday we'll place our order for approximately $14,000. So we're on budget, so we're moving along just fine. Now, I need your help. I need your help in signing up if you're going with us. We really need to know so that we can plan for the accommodations for us up in Kentucky. I need you to sign up if you're going to help with the food items that are listed out there on the Mountain Outreach table. Please sign up now. I need you to sign up if you're going with us. We need to know how many people we can count on. So please sign up. We do need some help on Wednesdays and Thursdays for adults. So if you can't go Monday and Tuesday, if you'll come Wednesday and Thursday, that would be great. We need you to donate items for the family and others up in Kentucky. We'll have a tractor trailer to carry those items up. I have been given the authority to buy a dishwasher for help with that small child. One of our members has given me the go ahead to buy that, and I'm thankful for that. Hard for me to see this morning up here. Don Wilson's been working real hard every day. Now that he's retired, he's working. But we got Don's over working in the bus every day. He's giving me all the nails and screws and things that we need to order. So we've got that list checked out. Our scouts have been working, helping get things ready. So the bus is taking good shape. And we need you to be praying earnestly about this project. I'm encouraged as of this morning about our donations. You know, we got less than 4 weeks to go and to get that goal met. So please continue to remember us. We've got a great family to build for, and we're looking forward to being up in Kentucky again. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. For those of you that don't know, Mountain Outreach is a ministry of this church where we head up. The church-wide goes up to Kentucky, the mountains in Kentucky, and builds a house for a family. And when I say builds a house, I mean in 4 days. The house is built, and it, because of the impact of this church and so many other people, furniture is in place. It is an amazing thing. If you have never been, let me encourage you to go. If you want to see God working, go to the mountains of Kentucky. It is a great thing. So we appreciate Roger and all the people that work so hard to make Mountain Outreach possible. We have another announcement. Cindy Johnson, come on.
Good morning. When Paul was writing to the church in Rome, he said that one of the reasons he wanted to go back to Rome and meet with them was because he loved it when they could mutually encourage each other's faith. And I think that's such a beautiful testimony of Christian fellowship and Christian brotherhood. And so I want to invite you out to our life service that we have on Sunday nights. And life stands for living in faith every day. And every week we go about it different ways. We worship differently. We do some different things, but we try to mutually encourage each other's faith. And tonight, starting at 7 o'clock, we're going to have our service, and it's going to be outside on the front lawn where we had it last week. And it was really a great witness to the neighborhood. We had people walking and people driving by and waving at us the whole time. So it's a beautiful testimony for the neighborhood to see the activity of this church. And so for those of you that may have never been before and are kind of wondering what it is, we want to invite you tonight at 7 o'clock to the life service. And if you want to come a little early at 6:15 and bring a bag lunch, we're just going to have a, or not lunch, I guess that'd be dinner. We're going to just have a time of fellowship before that. But we would love to see you come out. I'm going to have some music and testimony time tonight, 7 o'clock. Just want to invite you to come.
Thank you, Cindy. We do want to say a special welcome to our guest this morning. You've heard about several things that are going on, but there are several things that you may not know about in College Park. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest, we would like for you just to raise your hand. They have some information they would like to give to you. It's a packet that includes our regular schedule, things that are happening, things that College Park stands for, what we're about. It's a great way to find out about College Park and all the things that we are doing. This is a great way. We appreciate you worshiping with us, and we hope that you will come back. We hope that you will see what we see and that God is alive and well here at College Park. Today is a special day. Today is not only do we get to worship together as the body of Christ, but today we get to pause to celebrate the accomplishments of several in our congregation. It is Graduate Sunday, and this morning we have quite a large class, and they are diverse, and they are many, and they are headed many different directions. And we are excited to celebrate with them and with their families. And to do this right, we invite you to stand now for the processional. Be seated. Many times preachers talk too long, and I'm one of those. So I want to give the graduates this morning an opportunity to tell a little bit about themselves and where they're graduating from and where they're coming and where they're going. And it's best that you would hear from them about all the thanks that they want to give to the people of College Park. So I invite now the the class of 2006 to come. And when they come, I invite, if your graduate is coming forward, if you're a family member, we invite you to stand and be recognized as they come forward. The class of 2006, please come.
Hi, I'm Preston Boyles, and I'm graduating from Mount Tabor High School, and I'll be attending NC State. And I just want to thank everybody for their continuous support.
Hi, I'm Becca Chris. I'm graduating from Mount Tabor High School, and I'll be going to Western Carolina next year to major in elementary education.
My name is Hallie Gray, and I graduated from West Oaks High School. As of right now, my future is undecided.
Get that little guy out of the way. My name is Sam Haymore. I am going to graduate from North Forsyth High School. As of right now, my plans would be to do a 2-year associate's degree at Forsyth Tech and then transfer to ECU or NC State and get my general contracting degree.
Hey, my name is Corey Hendricks. I'm graduating from West Forsyth, and I'll be attending Forsyth Tech next year and then transfer out to maybe UNC Charlotte, and thanks for everything.
My name is Bryn Hobson. I'm graduating from West Forsyth High School. I'll be attending East Carolina in the fall, and I guess I'll be the first person to say more than a line. I've been at this church since I was born, and this church has meant everything to me. And I'm going to stop because I'm going to keep crying.
Hi, my name is Barry Merritt. I am graduating this year from R.J. Reynolds, and I will attend Appalachian State to major in physical education.
Hi, my name is Whitney Purnell, and I'll be graduating from Mount Tabor, and I'll be attending Salem College in the fall. And as I prepare to graduate, I would like to take this time to thank you for supporting me on my Christian journey. This church family has been a great inspiration to me every step of the way. I have been blessed to grow up as a part of this body of believers. I have more memories than I can begin to share. Mission trips, Bible school, choir, youth camp, and puppet team have been just a few of the experiences that have deepened my faith. I'll be attending Salem College in the fall, and I'm excited that I'll get to be a part of our college Sunday school class. As the body of Christ, you have taught, nurtured, inspired, and loved me just as I am. As I take this next step, please keep me in your prayers, and this is my prayer for you. Be strong and of good courage and act. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. 1 Chronicles 28:20. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Brittany Phillips. I'll be graduating from Mount Tabor High School and will be going to Western Carolina to major in social work and criminal justice. And I just want to thank my parents for everything. We've been through so much, and they've always been there. My little sister, you're awesome. You're my biggest fan. Always will be, always have been. And I love you, and I'm going to miss you horribly next year. And to you as the congregation, you guys are awesome. We moved here 2 years ago, and y'all have just welcomed us in. You know, I don't know very many of you personally, but there's always a smile on the faces of every single one of you, always asking, you know, how was your day, how was your week, everything like that. And you guys are awesome, and just please continue to support the youth, because even though we act like we aren't listening, we are, and we greatly appreciate you.
Hello, I'm Tripp Russell, and I will be graduating from Mount Tabor High School, and I will attend Wake Forest University next year. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Russ Talley. I'll be graduating from Mount Tabor High School and attending NC State next year. I've been here forever. So, I could say a lot, but I had one request. Cecilia didn't want to cry, so I'm not going to talk about all the great times that we had and how you used to cook me dinner, and it was wonderful, and how you're like my second mom. I'm not going to talk about that, so don't cry. I'm just going to get my tassel stuck in my mouth, and that'll be fun. So, this church has meant everything to me, and y'all have just been the greatest ever, all the youth camps, all of everything. RAs, church basketball, it's all been great. And I just want to thank all of y'all, Jeff and Raymond, and all my Sunday school teachers. Y'all have just basically changed my lives. Thank you.
My name is Marshall Thomason. I'm graduating from Mount Tabor High School, and I'll be attending NC State in the fall.
You know, you're starting to feel old when you hear somebody like Russ Talley say, "I've been here forever." My name is Jeremy Cobble. I just recently graduated from Wingate University, and it is Wingate, not Wingate. I'm currently unemployed, and I realize that doesn't have the same ring to it as college graduate, so I'm going to say I'm a college graduate. I'm working on finding employment right now, but I just want to thank everybody. Everybody in this church has impacted me in some way in my Christian development, and I want to thank everybody. I'm sure I'll thank you personally eventually, but it's a lot of people here, so I want to thank everybody while I'm here, and I really appreciate everything, and Mom and Dad, you're good people. I appreciate everything, and I couldn't have asked for better parents, and thank John, too. He's not here, but I'll tell him later. And thanks to Raymond and Jeff and Teresa for all that playing you do. Thanks to Raymond, because you've pretty much watched me grow up, you know. And started out as my youth minister, and now you're the big head of the party here. I wouldn't be where I am without you, so I appreciate it.
Good morning. My name is Katie Chinland, and I just graduated from Wake Forest University, and I will hopefully be moving to Charleston to teach kindergarten or first grade.
My name is Alan Rawls. I'm graduating with a degree in computer science from the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. I plan to work over the summer and continue my education at UNC Wilmington, pursuing a master's of computer science, and I have been awarded a full-time teaching assistantship.
Ladies and gentlemen, the class of 2006. Okay, you can be seated. You can be seated. We invite you now as we continue in our worship service. You will find invitation to share in worship as we begin our time together. Times of worship where we gather together really bond us together as the body of Christ. Really, for several years, many of these graduates have come into this place and they have learned from us and they have taught us what worship is about. Worship is an amazing thing where we get to gather together, regardless of age or experience. Christ has brought us to this place to worship Him. And I invite you to stand now for an invitation to share in worship. You will see this responsive reading printed in your bulletin. I invite you to read the dark print as I read the light print. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You may be seated. Moment, we will be having a time of commissioning for our family ministry interns, and I invite our children and our youth to come down during the last stanza of our next hymn. Will you pray with me? Father, on this beautiful day, we are reminded of the beauty of your creation. And when we know that the creation is beautiful, how much more so is the Creator? So, Father, we have come into this place to celebrate and to thank you for all the blessings, for the opportunities that were given to these graduates, and how they have worked so hard to come to this day, and all the effort of their family and the congregation. It is a testament to your love and to your grace that we come into this place, whether to celebrate graduation, to celebrate the Lord's Supper, or to celebrate Pentecost. You have given so much, and so we come into this place giving back. And that's what we do. That's why we're here. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. if you can tell, we're doing something a little different this morning. If you can see there in the middle, we have our two family ministry interns, Lizzie and David John. And we have had this ministry for several years now, and in various ways, College Park has commissioned the interns in the past to do the work of God's ministry. And today we wanted to do that in a little bit more formal way. So we're going to invite all the children and the youth that are around to place their hands on the shoulders of the people who are close to them. And everybody's putting their hands on David, John, and Lizzie. Now, we want to spend, say, a time of that includes all the guys over there on the corner there. Yeah. Okay. We want them to know that these are the ones that you're working with, Lizzie and David John. These are the young people and their families. And we want to say thank you for being willing to come and to hear God's call and to answer God's call. Know that you are loved. Know that you are supported. And know that God has you right in the middle of His hand. May we all pray together. Father, we thank you for this morning, for this time of commissioning. For Father, you have brought David, John, and Lizzie to us for this summer to be an impact on the youth and the children and the families of this church. And Father, we know that they have already done that so well in just the last few weeks. Let them know that they are loved. Let them know that they are supported by this congregation, by these children, by these youth. Let them know that they have your blessing. Because it is obvious you are all over their lives. You can look into their eyes and into their hearts and see you are alive and well. They have been called to this place to serve. And we commission them in your name to do that this summer. Give them your strength. Give them your peace. Give them your courage. And all these things we say. And all these things we pray. In the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Good job.
Our scripture focus this morning comes from the New Testament. First, from the Gospel of John. I'll begin by reading the last two verses of the 15th chapter and then continue into the 16th chapter from the second part of verse 4 through 15. Hear the word of Jesus Christ. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you must also testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. I did not tell you this at first, because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, much more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. And also,
from Romans in the 8th chapter, verses 22 through 27. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up into the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. May God bless the reading and understanding of his holy word.
Thank you. on June 18th, 1815, 12 miles south of Brussels and 2 miles from the Belgian village of Waterloo, the French Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte was soundly defeated by the Duke of Wellington. Now, at the time this happened, communication was pretty poor in terms of our modern standards. They were dependent upon semaphore signals. So the word got passed across about the battle, and the last station to relay the message was a ship that was out in the channel, and it was going to relay the message up to the high towers of Westminster Abbey. The communication that was sent, at least all of it that got sent, was Wellington defeated, and about that time a fog rolled in. And so the message that was relayed to the people in the streets of London was that Wellington had been defeated. And so grown men were crying. Ladies were in anguish in the open streets. A couple hours later, the fog lifted. And again, the ship was sending the message. Wellington defeated Napoleon. What a difference one word makes. As I reflected on this story, I thought, wow, I bet there was a sense of that feeling among the first century disciples. Because on Good Friday, they got the two-word message, Christ defeated. And it wasn't until Easter Sunday morning that they got the third word, Christ defeated death. And it's with that assurance that they knew Jesus was alive. They proclaimed that they were excited about it. Jesus is alive. He's alive. And what does that difference make? Well, following his ascension into heaven, he left instructions for his disciples. He said, wait in Jerusalem. Wait, because the gift of the Holy Spirit will be given to you. And I want us to read that story. It's a very familiar story, but I want us to read it again. It comes from Acts chapter 2 and begins in verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each and every one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. That's important. More about that later. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they said, are not these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears him in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, well, they've just had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will see dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke, and the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Maybe your reaction is, so? So what? What's the big deal? It is a big deal. I'll tell you for several reasons. First of all, this was the birthday of the church. This was the birthday of the Christian church. The fact that you're here today is a testimony to the fact that the church began at the sending of the Holy Spirit. Second of all, it was a new movement from God. It was a new way for God to relate to us. So that matters because it reflects how we see God, how we relate to God. Thirdly, you've already heard Jason read, Jesus talked about it. He talked about the Comforter, the Spirit coming to be with us. And because Jesus talked about it, in my book, that makes it pretty important. Fourthly, it was, I think, really the culmination, the pinnacle, if you will, of the completion of Jesus' ministry here on earth. Hopefully, all of us believe his teachings. We believe the fact that he was persecuted. We believe in the fact that he was killed on a Roman cross. We believe in the fact that he was resurrected on Easter Sunday morning. We believe in the fact that he ascended back to the Father to be at the right hand of the Father. Well, Pentecost is the fulfillment of all of his ministry here on earth. The sending of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to be with us as believers. Pentecost matters. If you're a Christian, it should matter to you. It's the sign of great things to come. So maybe you're asking, well, what does it mean? If you were here Wednesday night, I challenged you to do a little research, and hopefully you did that. The word Pentecost actually means 50. It was 50 days after Passover. It was the Greek term that was used for the Jewish Feast of Weeks. Okay, a week is how many days? Okay, so if you were going to have a Feast of Weeks or a Week of Weeks, that would be how many days? 49. 7 times 7, 49. And the feast was on the 50th day. That's how it worked. That is the reason for 50. Now, Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, actually goes all the way back to the giving of the law. When God gave the law to Moses, he gave him a system whereby they could celebrate certain milestones within the course of their life. And one of those was an agricultural holiday, which happened to coincide with the harvest. So that is why Exodus chapter 23, verse 16 calls it the Feast of the Harvest. It's the same thing. Feast of the Weeks, Feast of the Harvest, Pentecost, all of these designations for this same holiday marked the beginning of an offering of first fruits. You find it a little bit ironic that a Jewish celebration was the backdrop for the beginning of the Christian church. The God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. He is still working out his revelation through his people. Pentecost was actually also a pilgrim festival. It was one of three pilgrim festivals. Pilgrim festival was one of those times where Jewish men were required to go to Jerusalem. They would go and they would offer sacrifices. They would offer offerings. The other two of these pilgrim festivals were Passover, which we just talked about 50 days earlier. And the other one was the Festival of the Tabernacles, which is now celebrated under the name of Sukkoth, and it's in early autumn. So in verse 5, you remember I mentioned that that was important. We'd come back to that. Look at verse 5. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. The reason they were there is to bring their offerings, their sacrifices and their offerings as part of this Feast of Weeks. So Pentecost began as they were gathered together. Good Jewish men were there with their families to offer sacrifices. And God just so happened to pick this day to send the Holy Spirit. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. How many people were there? It depends on who you read. Some people say there were probably upward to 1 million people in Jerusalem at this time, on this day when God sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. The Pilgrim Festival was a time where people came to God in his city, on his terms, to offer sacrifices. It's been improved upon, and I'm glad God chose to improve upon it, because Pentecost as a pilgrim festival has been improved. You see, the Bible says we're all pilgrims. That's the reason the world will not embrace the teachings of Christ. That's the reason we live in somewhat hostile circumstances. Not us necessarily in the United States, but Christians all around the world are persecuted for their faith. We're aliens in this world. This world is not our home. We'll never readily be accepted by the world system. It's not our home. We're pilgrims. Graduates. You are beginning a pilgrimage. Or should I say continuing a pilgrimage. I challenge you, as the early church discovered that the Holy Spirit would be their source of strength and their source of guidance, I challenge you to make the Holy Spirit the basis for the decisions that you will make that will affect the rest of your lives. The difficulties you encounter, what will be the strength that you draw upon? Will it be your own strength? Will it be your peers? Or will it be the presence of God with you as the Holy Spirit? I challenge you. The Holy Spirit, the sending of the Holy Spirit is a big deal, because it gives you that strength, that courage for this moment and strength for the pilgrimage. Jesus was a pilgrim. He was not at home in this place. We killed him because it was a hostile environment. You'll face difficulties. You'll face challenges. I challenge you to depend daily upon fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Jesus knows. He knows the loneliness you may feel. He knows the subtle forms of rejection that you may experience. He has truly been there, and He's truly done that. The message of Pentecost is a wonderful message, because it is the promise of God's presence with us. And that makes it a very big deal. And if you take this idea of a journey, a pilgrimage, one step further, understand that God came to us at Pentecost. The people had been coming to God with their offerings and their sacrifices. Now God came to them. Those are distinctly different things. Let's look at it for just a second. The world sees the Christian church as people who go to church to be good. Really, they do. Be honest with yourself. Or they see the Christians as people that go to church because they think that they are a little bit better and they've figured out a way not to fall into that thing they called sin. Or maybe they think that the reason we come to church is because we feel guilty. We have guilty consciences, so we've got to go get God's help. So we go to church to do that, to get God's help. The Christian church should believe that the basis for our belief is the fact that God came to us, not that we go to Him. God came to us. As He appeared in the Old Testament, His personal appearances, if you will, were very rare. He spoke through His prophets. He did have a few times that He had a direct revelation. Most of the time it was through His prophets, but then Jesus came. God became flesh and He dwelt among us. He showed us how to live. He showed us how to die and showed us that we would have victory over death. But God came to us. He came to us in love. And He showed us His unconditional love for us. And when Jesus went back to the Father, His time had passed. He sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, to indwell us as believers. That's a big deal. Graduates, that's a big deal as you get ready to make this major transition in your life. Lizzie, David, John, this is a big deal. It's a big deal because you're going to be touching and hoping to shape and to mold the lives of these children and these young people that you'll be working with. Church, it's a big deal because the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit, we would be operating under our own strength as we try to impact the world for Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, I think the odds are stacked against us. Without the Holy Spirit, the odds are stacked against us. If we had to operate under our own strength, I would say, why bother? But we have the power of the Holy Spirit. God gave us the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, so we would have the power and the courage to follow Him. Even when we draw near to Him, it's because He drew near first. When we reach out to Him, it's because He reached out first. When we love Him, it's because He loved us first. The Holy Spirit, God's presence in our lives, is proof that we don't come to Him without Him having come to us first. And that's a very big deal.
May we pray. Our most gracious God, we come to You today with such grateful hearts for Your love and Your care for each of us. We thank You for this particular day when we can come and celebrate the graduation of so many of our young people. And Lord, we pray for guidance and mercy and wisdom for each of them as they continue on their journey. As we come to this time in our worship service, when we have an opportunity of giving back to You, help us remember that You are the owner of everything that we have, and that we are just called to be stewards for a little time on this earth. Help us to remember there are many, many people who are hurting in Indonesia, in Haiti, and yes, here in Winston-Salem. Lord, bless the gift and the giver and use it to Your service. These things we ask in Your name. Amen.
We come together to celebrate communion And I'd just like to say a word. We practice open communion. If you are a believer, if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, whether you are, quote, a member of this church, you're God's child, and we want you to feel welcome to participate with us as we join in communion together. Thank you for being here for this hour and for a minute. We appreciate your patience, and we are so thankful for these graduates. Families, thank you for being here. I appreciate you being here. Church, I want to challenge you this week. Rediscover what it means to live with the Holy Spirit guiding your life. I challenge you. That is the challenge for this week. As through the benediction and the response, I invite you, please remain standing and in your place for the reception of our graduates. Let's pray together. Hear from God's word from Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Amen.